Hello, and thank you for joining us today on this radio broadcast of Speak to Me. Speak to Me is a teaching ministry with our Bible teacher, Billy Pruitt. You may contact us at speaktomeradio@gmail.com or give us a call at 386-383-9979. Let's get started.
Systematic obedience. Not too long ago, I did an activity on setting goals, if you remember. And I remember as I was doing the activity on setting goals that an interesting thought crossed my mind, because most of the time we always talk about setting goals. We talk about, you know, I have a goal to do this, or I have a goal to do that, or I have a goal to whatever. And it crossed my mind that setting goals as such in that way is not entirely the way a Christian ought to live. But rather, instead of setting a goal, we should establish processes. Now let me explain what I mean. A goal is something far off in the distance. Like if I said, we're going to take a trip to Kentucky, Kentucky's the goal. Now, we can have any number of roads that we would like to choose in order to get there. We might choose the fastest road. We might choose the most scenic road. We might choose a road that goes by a particular place. But we would have all kinds of options in between. However, setting that goal out there in the way in the future is real different than setting up a process that would lead us to that goal. If instead of setting a goal of getting to Kentucky, I set it as a process to head in a northward direction, eventually I will get to Kentucky. But the process in and of itself is what will take me there. Now, the difference is this. If I think of a goal, I think of the future. If I think of a process, I think of the present. And thinking of the present is way more important in the scriptures than thinking of the future, because Jesus himself said, take no thought of the morrow. And he wasn't meaning don't plan, but planning is a process, right? And so in order to do that scripture, we have to think in terms of today and not tomorrow. If we're tomorrow Christians, then it throws us off in our today. And so I want us to understand that it's more important for us to have a systematic obedience today than it is to have a far-reaching desire for tomorrow. And that is critically important, and we're going to see that today, and we're going to see how that unfolds in the life of and ministry. Most people today are looking for results. Now, if you go to a business, they're looking for a salesperson that gets results. If you go to another place, they're looking for somebody who gets results. We want results. We want task accomplishment. We want sales to be high. We want numbers to work. We think of this. And the thing is, there's nothing wrong with thinking of results in terms of business. But when you bring that mentality into the church, now the minister has on him the responsibility of results. Well, how many people attended Sunday school today? How much were the tithes and the offerings? How much was in the service this morning? Well, that's down from what it was last month. How many people got saved this year? How many people were baptized this year? We're looking for results. And I don't know that there's anything wrong with results. I mean, obviously, without results, there's, we want to have some results. And there's nothing wrong with having results. But should our ministry be based on the results that come, or should our ministry be based on something else? When we think about this, this is one of the big problems with churches in America, is because we're doing church based on results. We're doing church based on results. We can change the method as long as we get the result. Now, that's critical. That's very important. Because, again, we're setting our goal to be result, and that gives us many options as to how to choose to get to that result. The options are really not important. The method is not really important. The path is not really all that important. What is important is the end. But that is not exactly the way Jesus wants us to walk. He doesn't want us to choose our own way to get to his end. He wants us to walk in his way, which will lead us to his end. It's a different way of thinking. Now, What if the results of your ministry caused people to be worse than they were before you got there? We would consider that person a failure. If we had a pastor and he went to a church and the church was, you know, it was going along fine, everything was pretty good, and then when he left, the church was the same group of people, and they were fighting, and they were bitter, and some of them became, you know, various different sinful practices and all stuff, and they were way worse when he left than when he got there. We'd say, wow, that man's a failure. That man really did not do a good job there, right? That's exactly what we would think. But the problem is that we are looking for results, and as long as we're looking for results, we may miss something that God has for us. I want you to look with me now in Isaiah chapter 6. We always hear Isaiah chapter 6, and we hear Isaiah 6 presented from the idea of, the vision of God, high and lifted up. But we don't often hear about the rest of the story, and so we're going to look at the rest of the story today. Isaiah chapter 6, we're going to start reading in verse 9. Isaiah verse 6 and chapter 6 verse 9 says, "And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." So now Isaiah goes to the people, and he's told, I want you to tell them, but I want you to, they're not going to understand. In fact, I want you to actually tell them not to understand. I want you to tell them not to see. I want you to make their heart fat. I want you to make their eyes dim and their ears dull. And so when Isaiah leaves, they're worse off than they were when he got there. The point is, was his ministry successful? Well, yes. It was exactly successful, exactly the way that God wanted it to be, even though the people were changed, maybe even for the worse, when he was finished. Now that's a real different thing. Now Isaiah, at the end of this call to ministry, had a very important question in verse 11. He says, "Then said I, Lord, how long? How long am I supposed to do this, Lord?" I think we have asked ourselves that question on numerous occasions. How long am I supposed to do this? Look at the Lord's answer. And he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate." Wow, that's how long. How long are we supposed to do this? Now, today, when we're thinking in terms of results, we don't think in terms like that. Right? We don't think in terms, you know, we think of preaching the gospel and praying. Pray until something happens, right? That's what they say. Pray until something happens. Pray, you know, and we hear stories about missionaries that went and they 20 years without a convert, and then all of a sudden it blew open and they had 100 people or whatever, 1,000 people. We hear of missionaries that go and they suffer for years, and then they, even maybe they die, but all of a sudden then the revival comes and they see what, you know, it happens there. What if it doesn't happen? What if it doesn't happen at all? What if the people that you go and minister to all die in their sins and go to hell? Does that make you a failure in the ministry? No, it doesn't. I want to share with you two stories with a catch. Noah in the Bible is described as a perfect man. Noah is a man of righteousness, a preacher of righteousness, and he preached for probably 100 years, maybe more than that, while the ark was preparing. And guess what? Nobody cared. The only people he could get into the boat was his own family. Nobody cared. Not a soul. He preached for 100 years, and at the end of his preaching, they were all drowned in the flood, the wrath of God. That would seem horribly unsuccessful as a minister. I mean, just imagine. Jonah. We studied Jonah last week. Jonah preached one sermon, walked through the city, Preached one time. The whole city, everybody, every single last person repented and was saved. Jonah was successful. Now let me ask you a question. Who would you rather be like? Noah or Jonah? Well, none of us want to be remembered like Jonah. We don't want to be remembered as the man that ran from God, the man that was angry with God, the man that contended with God, the man that said, yeah, I think I'm so mad, it's fine for me to die. We don't want to be like Jonah. Certainly don't want to be swallowed by a fish. We don't want to be like Jonah. And yet we want Jonah's results. We do want to be like Noah, but we don't want Noah's results. So the question is this. Are we going to be worried about results, or are we going to be worried about obedience? If we're going to look for results, we're probably going to bypass obedience to get results. But if we're going to look for obedience, we may or may not have results, and that is what I'm calling systematic obedience. When we learn to be obedient to God every day, we learn to be obedient to God in our devotion. We learn to be obedient to God in giving out a tract. We learn to be obedient to God by telling somebody that they're a sinner, by telling them, calling out their sins. Well, it doesn't make us popular. No, of course not. But we learn to be obedient in a systematic way. We're journeying on this road with Jesus. We are learning systematic obedience. And by systematic obedience, we may not have the results that Jonah had, but we may have the commendation that Noah had. And I'd rather have the commendation of Noah than the results of Jonah. We have to learn not to care about the results. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to read verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You know, the results do not come because of our greatness. The results do not come because of our intelligence or because of our wittiness or because of our programs or because of our this or that or anything else. The results come because God is the one that brings the increase. Now, if God is the one that brings the increase, then we can neither fail or achieve if there's an increase. It's all the glory goes to God. If there's an increase, God brought it. If there's not an increase, God didn't bring it. It's God that brings the increase. Therefore, if there's no increase, it's God, not me. Right? And so, why should we feel like we've failed if there's no increase? Why should we feel like we've succeeded if there is an increase? We rather should be concentrated on the obedience, and whether there's an increase or whether there's not an increase, we are obedient. Period. We are successful in our obedience, and let God be sovereign over what happens with it. You know, that's something we need to do. We need to learn not to care over the increase. That's God's department. Let him do his. Let us do ours. Ours, in Paul's case, was the planting. Ours may be, in Paulus's case, maybe we're to water. We've been talking about sowing salty seed. Maybe that's our job. We're just to sow and move on. And if God increases it, so be it. If the birds of the air take it, so be it. Our job is not to worry about that. Our job is to sow. Our job is to water. If there's an east wind that blows on it and it wilts and weathers, that's not our problem. Our job was to sow it. And so we can confidently set up this process of obedience by which we are obedient every day and let the results be in God's hands. We're not looking for results. We don't even care. That's not our problem. It's not our department. It's not our responsibility to bring the results. It's God's responsibility. And if he wants to bring them, fine. And if he doesn't, fine. To God be the glory. I want you to look with me now at Psalm chapter 75. A lot of times, you know, especially in life, we look at ourselves and we say, you know, where are we really going here? Yeah, I know we always ask that question. We haven't asked it in a long time here, maybe, but we ask, where are we really going? You know, we wonder, you know, where is this headed? Psalm verse 75, chapter 75, verse 6 through 7 says, For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Do we really believe the scripture? If we do, then we're forced to believe that promotion doesn't come from the east, the west, or the south, but God. God is the one who judges and brings one down and brings another up. So, if we say, well, where am I going? Where is this going? I don't see this going anywhere. Again, that's not our problem. That is not our place. That's not our job to worry about promotion. It's not our job to worry about advancement. It's our job to do what? Be obedient. If we can learn to be obedient in a systematic way, then God can handle the promotion side. He can handle the opportunity to promote us. God is very capable of that. And we need to stop worrying about the results and start worrying about the actions. The actions that God has put into our lives and desires for us to do, we do those. We do those faithfully and allow Him to deal with the results and allow Him to deal with the promotions or deal with the increase or deal with whatever comes, because those are His things. Now, as we were reading the psalm this morning, one of the verses struck me, and I want us to turn back to Psalm number 67, verse number 2, because Psalm 67, verse number 2, has a two-word phrase that I want us to do to look at. It says, that thy way may be known upon earth. Thy way. The Bible talks quite a bit about walking with God. Walking with God. In fact, Micah 6:8, the famous scripture there, what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Okay? And we see that Enoch walked with God and was not. We see this idea of walking with God all the time in the scriptures. Okay? Walking with God. You know, walking with God is a systematic obedience. When we walk with God, we don't plan our course ahead of time. Right? We get in the habit of taking steps. We just step. We step out and we walk. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what the end result will be. We don't know whether walking with God will lead us to prosperity or will lead us to persecution. We don't know whether walking with God will lead us to success or failure. As it relates to the world's viewpoint, we don't know. All we know is that we're walking with God. We don't see around the corner. We don't see over the next hill. We don't see the valley that's coming. We don't see the mountain that's in the path. We don't see any of that. All we just do is we get in step and walk with God. Now, our job is the systematic part, and that's the part where we get in the habit of the stepping. We're just responsible for the stepping. We're following Him. We don't choose the path. He chooses the path. We just follow. We walk with Him. We don't do anything other than get in the habit, the systematic habit of stepping. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to worry about today, get in the systematic habit of stepping. Once we are obedient in the stepping, then He will lead. He will give us a place to follow. He will choose the path. He will choose the results at the end of the path. He will choose all the activities along the path. We're just walking. We're just walking with Him. And if we can get in the habit of just walking, we can understand thy way, His way. We can understand it. We can walk with Him. We don't worry about the results. We don't worry about the increase. We just worry about the walking. Guess what? After a while, we'll realize that we've walked a long ways. We'll realize that we've come through many corners and many bends and over many hills and through many valleys. But guess what? We won't remember our steps. But He does. He remembers our steps. For He counts them. He doesn't always count our results because He knows those are His. But he counts our steps. He counts our steps. God is more concerned with our steps than he is our feats. He's more concerned with our steps than he is with our triumphs in our own minds and our own thinkings. He's more concerned about our steps than he is the souls that we bring to him. That's interesting. The souls that we could bring to him, that's him. He's the one that draws them, not us. He doesn't put us responsible for that. He puts us responsible to be the mouthpiece, but never the responsibility of bringing the Savior. He's the Savior. It's our responsibility is just to walk. And if we can learn to walk and we can keep walking and walk consistently day by day, then he can take care of all the rest of it. And we can relax and rest easy and realize that whether somebody's hardened, like Isaiah, you're going to go and they're going to be worse when you finish than when you started. Well, okay, that's God's domain. Maybe they are. Maybe they're all going to be drowned in the flood. Maybe if we were to ask, oh God, how long are we going to pray for these neighbors of ours? The Lord might just say, well, you're going to pray for these neighbors of yours until I take you out and I destroy them with famine and plague and locusts and scorpions and such. That's how long. And if he does say that, do we say, oh, well, then what's the use? No. We say, to God be the glory. Let your will be done and help me to walk in thy way and I'll be obedient. And that is a different way of looking at ministry than what you hear on these big promotional, you know, grow your church in 30-day plans and all that kind of stuff. The big church may have Jonah as the pastor. A church of 8 might have a Noah. I'd rather be a Noah than a Jonah any day. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Father, we thank you for allowing us to open your word today and study. And Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will allow this word that's come forth to incubate in our hearts, and that we, O Lord, would pursue a life of obedience with you every day, every step that we take. O God, we may forget our steps, but you don't. You count them. You watch over our steps. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to put in place a system of processes where we read our Bibles every day, where we pray every day, where we're doing the things every single day that are going to lead us to success in your kingdom and in the way you look at it. Lord, help us not to concern ourselves with the results, but help us to concern ourselves with the things that we're doing, the things that we're doing on a daily basis, the habits that we form in your kingdom. And Lord, I pray that you will allow those habits to enrich our lives. I pray that you will allow those things to transform us as we read and study your word every day, and as we come to you in prayer. I pray, Lord, for this listening audience. Some of them may be in prison cells. Some of them may be in driving up and down the highway. Lord, whatever is going on in their lives, I pray that you would help them, Lord, to begin to put into place the processes in their lives, the daily devotion time, the things that are necessary, the church, going to church and spending time with your people, encouraging one another. Maybe it may be something that we need to do to encourage ourselves to pass out tracts or do some soul-winning evangelism. Whatever it is, Lord, that you would want us to do on a daily basis, I pray that you would allow these things to become such a part of our lives that we cannot imagine our lives without them. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to be like Noah. Help us to be steadfast in our generation. Help us to be perfect, as your word says that we can be. And Lord, we give you praise because you are our creator, and we love you very, very much. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've just been listening to Bible teacher Billy Pruitt on Speak to Me. If you live in Columbia County, Florida, near Lake City, Lulu, Providence, or Ellisville, and you would like to study the Bible with us, just give us a call at 386-383-9979. Or you can email us at speaktomeradio@gmail.com. Make sure you join us again next week on Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Faith Radio. May the Lord bless you today and have a great day.